And here on KBRB, as we do before the start of a new legislative session, we try to get to an update from our 43rd District State Senator. We're joined on the phone lines by Colonel Tom Brewer, our 43rd District Representative. Appreciate the time as always, and thanks for joining us as we get ready for the session.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to getting the session started. Got lots of work to do.
Well, before we start talking about what we've got going on in 2024, I wanted to have you just kind of walk us back through one of the major bills you got passed after several years in 23, and that was your constitutional carry bill that has now been implemented. And I just wanted to have you kind of give folks an idea if they were looking at a concealed carry permit, or if they had a concealed carry permit, what they're going to see differently in the permitting process from what was previously required after this new legislation was passed.
You bet. Well, we'll go over the categories. We have the first, which was what Nebraska has had since its conception as a state, which was open carry. That is not used much for obvious reasons. You know, it's just, I've done now, it's more of a comfort thing. People don't like to have folks open carrying in stores or anywhere else. And if you look anymore, a lot of business have a restriction on that anyway. Now, we've had concealed carry for a number of years, and that permitting process will actually stay the same. No changes there. The rules will be transferred over to constitutional carry. So where you couldn't go before, you can go now. And if you were a restricted person from having a gun before, you're still a restricted person. So those rules all carry over. All this means is you do not have to pay the $200 to $300 to go through the permitting process. Now, what it will mean is when you go to buy a gun, you'll have to go through a background check. That will take some time. If you have a concealed carry permit, that does expedite it because you've already done that. But the constitutional carry part of it allows you to conceal carry in the state of Nebraska with, and I'll throw this out there, with the restrictions of Lincoln and Omaha, in that both of their mayors have done I'm carefully wording this. It is a executive order that restricts you from being able to conceal carry in those two cities. And where they did it in a way that has resulted in a lawsuit is they said that you cannot have it on any public highways, sidewalks, city parks. I mean, when they were done, there was nowhere left. So essentially what they'd done is they restricted the ability to have your Second Amendment right in the cities in Lincoln and Omaha. And so consequently, we asked for an opinion from the Attorney General. He came back in support of LB 77 and said that it followed both the state and the federal constitution. And the following day, a number of gun rights organizations within Nebraska filed lawsuits against the city of Lincoln and Omaha. That will be sorted out in the courts, and I think in the end we'll win. I don't think there's much doubt on that. But if there's any other issue that you should be aware of when it comes to concealed carry versus constitutional carry, concealed carry, you have a permit. And that permit allows you to cross state lines into states that have agreements with Nebraska, which is pretty much everybody around us, with the exception of Colorado. Colorado, you probably want to stay clear of Colorado if if you have a gun, because they have some pretty challenging laws out there. Now, the other thing you should be aware of is that with constitutional carry, you still have the same responsibilities to law enforcement to notify them upon contact. So when the police officer comes up and you give him his driver's license registration, you would normally give him your concealed carry permit if you had one. And that's not optional. You have to do that. In this case, with constitutional carry, you need to notify the law enforcement officer at that point that you are concealed carrying, and then he has that situation awareness. So it's just a courtesy for law enforcement, for their safety.
Well, you know, we talk about those bills as they're passed in the legislature, but then sometimes we don't follow up and talk about kind of the implementation and the nuts and bolts of how they work and then how they affect Nebraska. So I appreciate you giving us kind of a rundown on the changes that people see. So wanted to have you kind of catch us up on what you've been working on during the interim period and what are some of the new bills that you plan on introducing for the session, as well as I know you had some holdover bills from 2023 that'll still be on the docket.
Yes, let's go with the new bills first, and I'm going to run down a list. There's not many. Well, I shouldn't say that. Normally, your first year here, you have a bill or two, and you hope that you have a bill survive and it becomes a law. As you get here and you spend some time, you get to figure out how to get legislation moved through, and a lot of that's by, you know, friendship with other senators and then being able to tell the story of why what you're trying to do is a good idea. So next year I've got 10 bills on the docket, which sounds like a lot, but last year I think we had 27. So, and again, that sounds horrible, but a lot of times these are small cleanup bills. You know, as the chairman of Government, Military, and Veterans Affairs, you'll have things where a sentence needs to be changed. It's so basic that it should be in what we call it a consent calendar item. It basically goes through and it's part of a huge package, and it's just things that need to be done to help government be better. And then you have bills that are kind of non-controversial. Both sides are okay with them, but they do change a few things. And then you have those that are controversial bills. If it is a controversial bill, you're going to have a priority. And you only get one, so you got to make a careful choice on that. Originally I was going to have the school security bill as my priority. The education committee is going to take that, I think, as a committee priority, which then frees up mine. I haven't absolutely decided yet, but one of these bills we're about to run through will obviously be that bill. One of the first ones I have is a detaxing of the National Guard income. Right now, we're down about a battalion in the National Guard just because it's harder to recruit, and there's not as many that are able to go into the military for a number of reasons. If you have been on some type of medication as a teenager, you can be restricted. A lot of them just right now do not meet the high weight requirements, and That's a no-go. You can't serve if you can't run, jump, and dive and everything else you got to do. So consequently, trying to fill the ranks is hard. And the National Guard is very critical to Nebraska, not just for the state mission, but they do a lot of federal missions. They do border security on the southern border. They're in Africa. They're in Europe. They're in Middle East right now. So as we keep losing numbers, we looked at ways of helping the National Guard be able to maintain their ranks. And one of the things they said that would help is if we could take their drill pay and detax it, it just gives them a little bit more. And I thought, well, you know, we have a lot of carve-outs for big corporations and everyone else and their dog. This is one that actually helps people that are just kind of regular folks that are just trying to make ends meet. So anyway, that's going to be one of the bills. As I mentioned, school security, and you're going to hear all kinds of horror stories come out on this because a teachers' union is already lining up against it. But it's an optional thing for schools. It simply will allow legally for you as a school board or an administration in the school board together to decide, hey, we would like to have someone in the school who could provide assistance if something happened. Now, that person would have to go through training at the police academy, you know, probably a week-long course or whatever it takes so that they understand the do's and don'ts and the how-tos, where you secure that weapon and how, you know, it would probably only be that person that would have access to it. But the general feeling is the school should at least have the ability to make that decision themselves. There should not be a state restriction on that. And the state right now is so restrictive. Let me give an example. If you were a licensed or a certified law enforcement officer and you're not on duty, you cannot carry armed on school property. Well, that's crazy. I mean, you That's the people you would want there if something went wrong. And so we need to incorporate that into the bill to take that restriction away so that law enforcement 24/7, 365, if they're needed or if they're on school property and have to deal with a situation, that they can be armed. So that school security bill will draw a lot of fire, maybe not as much as 77, but it will. And it's too bad because what they'll do, the headline will be arming every teacher in Nebraska or some crazy thing like that. I'm not even saying arm any teachers. It could be administrators. It could be janitors. It could be anybody who they think could help law enforcement with a situation to buy time until you get a contingent of law enforcement there to actually do the job. It's a safety issue with schools in a sense that they have the ability to do something rather than just hide and wait for whoever it is to come around. Now, maybe in Western Nebraska, we don't have as much concern as they do in other places, but we don't have near as much law enforcement either. So that bill will get a lot of discussion. Not sure, how it'll go, but we'll see. We're also doing a veterans bill. There's a lot of claim sharks out there that are just fleecing these veterans, and we're working with Barry Law to come up with some legislation that will put restrictions on them being able to do that. That it has to be a firm that actually works with law enforcement. That you can't be some fly-by-night guy that throws an advertisement in the paper and says, "Give me money and I'll fix all your problems," and then you come up missing with the money and the veteran's left empty-handed. So we're working through that. Right now, state college dormitories can only receive money through the state coffers to improve or build dormitories. Stupid law that someone wrote way back when. We're going to change that. That way, if you have corporations or a joint community project where you want to improve dormitories or build dormitories, you can do that, and the state law doesn't restrict it. And that we're working with state colleges on. Let's see. We've got Nebraska Public Media. We're working with them on a number of issues. If you remember last year, we created the Legislative Video Archive, and that just takes everything we do here in lovely Lincoln, Nebraska, at the Capitol, and puts it into a digital library that you can access. So if you can't come down to the hearing on LB 77, you pick whatever it is, you can see the hearing, you can hear who testifies, and then you can also watch the floor debate. That's always been lost before, unless you got a VCR and you want to tape the dang thing. And that's not really fair to those that live a long ways from Lincoln, because they can't stand down their lives to come here and listen to some of the insanity we go through. So this will then archive it. I wish it had been here sooner, because I think there's a lot of the idiotic things that happen in here that people ought to hear, just so they understand when you get ready to vote for someone, make sure that you do it carefully, because if you get the wrong people in here, it makes this system of the unicameral not work very well. All right, let's see, run down veterans. Oh, we're working on lifetime hunting and fishing permits for veterans. That's kind of small potato things too, but just some things. Right now, there's a lot of the Offutt Air Force guys that end up ending their time here, and there's been a big push to try and keep them here in Nebraska. And so these veterans things obviously help with that, but we also have a lot of veterans in Nebraska. So anyway, a few benefits to help with that. We are working a number of bills that are on the books that have made it to general file. And let me run through them real quick, because those are the ones that are probably going to see some life. We've got our virtual meetings law, which then will give the ability to have meetings. A lot of times there was a temporary limit on how much you could Zoom meetings. This will allow you to use that and still have a legal quorum and it still follows state law, not emergency law because of a COVID or something like that. And what it is just a lot of times, whether it be weather or distance or whatever, there's inability to have a quorum for a meeting. And this will still allow you to have a quorum. You'll just have to do it digitally for that one or two people, whoever's missing. Running down there, we've got a grant to go to Madonna. That's a care facility here in Lincoln that specializes in a whole spectrum of type of injuries. But specifically, they work on some injuries that are not something that's available to others to work on. And that specialty skill we need to keep. So we're trying to figure out how to help them to do that when it comes to spinal cord injuries. Banned wind turbine blades as far as being able to put them in landfills here in Nebraska. There was a push by Colorado to bring them into Nebraska. We intercepted them at the border. They stacked them there. And then when we started processing this law, they decided not to bury them. The concern is that Nebraska's situation with the Ogallala Aquifer directly below everything and the rosin, fiberglass, all of the things that are in those blades seeping into the water system is not good. Now, they have a big hole, we call it in Wyoming, where they put them in the ground, but they have a rock base and a clay base that will hold that better. I'm still not excited about burying the darn things, but I'm kind of at the point now where if they're not burying it in the sand hill, well, burying it in Nebraska, then they can take it wherever they want. But we dang sure don't need the blades from other states, and I'm not wanting to bury the blades we got here in Nebraska either. So that's a bill I think that we'll get traction and we'll get that through. It just is a common sense kind of bill. We've got our First Freedom Act. First Freedom Act simply will restrict the government from being able to limit or restrict individuals from being able to go to church. That was something that was an issue during COVID. Generally, the feeling is that the government should not be playing a part in that, but we got to make sure that we put that in black and white or else somebody will do it. We've figured that out, unfortunately. And let's see, we've got a cleanup bill, veterans home cleanup bill. A lot of that is just verbiage, making sure that a lot of the old documents, it's all he and you know, it's very, I don't want to say, it's very specific, and sometimes it needs to be more generic because, you know, it needs to be just a general term. And so not a huge issue there, but still, it's cleaning up law, so it reads right and should be, if it goes under legal review, the way we want it. And then there's a command climate profile. That is one that was generated during COVID, where a lot of National Guardsmen were being terminated because they didn't take the shot. And looking back on it, now they've even determined that that was not a good idea, that they eliminated tens of thousands of really good airmen and sailors and soldiers over the shot, and that it wasn't something that had impacted the ability of the military to do their mission. What had impacted the ability to do their mission is eliminating all these really good soldiers, sailors, and airmen. Now there's an effort on the part of the military to bring them back in. And what we're trying to do is make sure that they get a fair shake when they come back in, that they're not given a general, if they got a general discharge, that that's changed to an honorable discharge. And if they want to come back in, you know, they should be able to come back in the same rank that they left. They shouldn't be punished for what the government did to them. And so that's another fight we've got going. Those are probably the biggest ones. There's other smaller ones. We've got a Pheasant Restoration Act that we are still working through with Game and Parks. They did not like our first version of that. That bill's not dead, but it's just really hard. With we had a bounty on predators, and then we had a forced repopulation of the pheasant population through planting more pheasants. And Game and Parks is convinced that that will make no difference. But we haven't really had a solution from them yet, and so we're gonna work through that. We've also got a bill to compensate landowners for damages from wildlife. That's become more critical with the elk population. Herd of elk can can go through a man's cornfield or a stack yard pretty fast. And right now, the Game and Parks really doesn't have a very good program to compensate that landowner. So we got to make sure and stay on top of that, or else, you know, their inability or ineffectiveness to manage those herds will impact whether or not a rancher or farmer is able to make a living.